Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Temptations. Spiritual warfare. Hollywood has done a fairly decent job of making some dramatic movies about spiritual warfare using special effects. Spiritual warfare takes place in our lives every day as we are tempted. This morning in our gospel reading, we heard about a 40-day period of temptation for Jesus. As we begin our Lenten journey, which is also 40 days long, some of us may have given things up for Lent, chocolates, whatever, snacking. And as if you have given something up for Lent, temptation's there, isn't it? To give in, have take part in the thing that you decided you would leave out of your life for 40 days. Now the temptations that Jesus experienced, oh, were so different. Luke chapter 4 begins at a time of Jesus' ministry right after his baptism. Oh, the baptism of Jesus was incredible. Baptized by his cousin John the Baptizer, as Jesus came out of the water, we're told that the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And then as that is happening, this voice from the sky says, "This is my Son with whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." What an experience that must have been. But doesn't it sometimes seem like right after those mountaintop experiences in our lives, we have a tendency to hit rock bottom or hit a valley? Sometimes it just seems it happens. And I think that's what's happening to Jesus here too. He had just had that incredible experience of his baptism, and the next verse in the Bible says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil." 40 days and 40 nights Jesus went without food. Now when Jesus fasted, it wasn't just something he did to go without food. His fasting always was coupled with prayer. When Jesus was fasting, when he wasn't eating, he was praying, talking with his heavenly Father. So in this great hunger, Satan began the tempting. Now in our text, though, let me put a footnote here. In our text, we're just told a few of the temptations that Jesus went through. But I think it's fair to assume that Satan was tempting Jesus throughout these 40 days, not just at the end of them. So we're told, though, that Jesus had great hunger. Of course, he hadn't eaten for so long. And in this great hunger, Satan tempts him this way. He says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Looking at this temptation, I think we can see that Satan is not very creative. When it comes to tempting, he always seems to tempt the same way. He begins his temptation by casting seeds of doubt. Remember the Garden of Eden? When he tempted Eve? How that began? He began by saying, "Did God really say?" Hear that? Casting the seeds of doubt. Did God really say? Or how about in Job chapter 1? Where we see that glimpse of the invisible spiritual world, Satan coming before God with all the angels. God says to Satan, so what have you been doing? Satan says back, oh, I've been going to and fro, up and down on the earth, you know, causing havoc. God says to Satan, well, have you considered my servant Job? He's upright, blameless, and fears God. And here's where Satan again casts those seeds of doubt. Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? You can see the doubt questioning Job's faithfulness. And so in Jesus' hunger, Satan goes up to him and says, if you really are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Do you hear the seeds of doubt that he's casting? I do. Satan knew that Jesus was God's son, didn't he? Jesus also knew that he was God's son. He just came to the baptism where he heard that voice from the sky say, this is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. So why didn't Jesus just take some rocks and make some bread? He certainly could, couldn't he? It's not beyond his abilities. What's wrong with just taking this opportunity to satisfy his hunger? Would there be anything wrong with Jesus eating the results of a miracle? I think it's most likely that when Jesus fed the 4,000, or when he fed the 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Remember that story? I think it's most likely that Jesus ate some of that bread and fish. No problem there. But when Satan says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones become bread, it's a completely different scenario. In this case, if Jesus would have turned the stones into bread, he would be doing so to prove something to Satan, to prove to Satan that indeed Jesus is the Son of God. It would be sinful because he is proving something to Satan, and also also because he's proving it to Satan, he would be showing distrust in his Father's words. That's why it would be sinful. So instead of turning the stones into bread, Jesus speaks to Satan and says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. By doing so, he's quoting from Scripture. Those words of Jesus show how powerful Scripture can be. In Paul's description of the arsenal that every Christian has, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul tells us to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's exactly what Jesus did here. What Jesus did here, too, is what Martin Luther was talking about when he wrote, a mighty fortress is our God, and he included the words, the phrase, one little word fells him. Jesus knew how powerful and effective God's word is for warding off Satan's attacks. The words that Jesus we're quoting here are from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. There we hear these words from Moses. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, these spiritual battles are nothing new, are they? Each and every day, Satan is also tempting us. His temptations come in every form imaginable. And the most dangerous temptations he launches against us are those temptations that begin when he scatters those seeds of doubt in our lives. Did God really say? Does God really want you not to do that? Does God really want to have you miss out on this opportunity? Beware. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I hope you're a student of Scripture. I hope you're a student of God's Word. I'm sure Satan is a student of God's Word. But I'm sure that when Satan is a student of God's Word, it's not that he can obey it, but so that he can twist it ever so subtly. And he twists it against you in his attacks. But when you're in God's Word reading it, when you're studying it in a Bible study class, when you're listening to it in worship, God will use that opportunity to equip you to use his words to defend Satan's attacks. He'll equip you to become like Jesus, a master swordsman, with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Just one last note here as we're leaving the story of Jesus' temptations. I've always been intrigued by that opening statement. Did you catch this too? The opening verse where it says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he'd be tempted." I wonder, why is it? Why is it that the Holy Spirit would lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted? That doesn't seem right. You know, back in the days when the Union Pacific was building its railroad out west, one of the barriers or obstacles they faced was a vast gorge that had to be bridged. And so they built this massive trestle over the gorge. Sometimes those trestles look like they just can't hold a train, right? The trestle is finished, and the builder arranges for a train to be loaded up with as many cars that'll span that trestle. And then he even doubled the load as much as he could. And he instructed the train's engineer to drive the train out on the trestle and stop. Full train across the trestle. And as much as he could, he doubled the loads on the cars. And he had the train stop there all day long. Someone asked the builder, "What are you trying to do, break the bridge?" And the builder said, "No, I'm not trying to break the bridge. I'm showing that it can't be broken." That's what happened at Jesus' temptation too. The temptations that Jesus was led into the wilderness to face, they weren't designed to see if Jesus would sin, but rather they were to prove that Jesus couldn't. They show us how different Jesus is from you and me and every other person. He couldn't sin. He is the Son of God. What happened in the wilderness with Jesus has its similarities with what happened in Eden, doesn't it? Both Jesus and Eve were tempted by food. But in other ways, it was so different. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve could eat whatever they want. They were well fed. They could eat whatever they wanted except for the one tree. And they failed. In the wilderness, Jesus was starving for 40 days. He was tempted by food, and he did not sin. Because Jesus is so different from you and me, we can turn to him in our temptations. He tells us, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Because Jesus is so different from you and me, we can also turn to him when we fail in our temptations. We fail to resist our temptations. We can turn to him for forgiveness. Again, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. That's what he did for us when he went to the cross. In his name, amen.